This is the first Sunday of Advent, and the word Advent just simply means the arrival of something. And as believers, Christmas season, what we celebrate the arrival of is the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came as a baby 2,000 years. He left the splendor of heaven to come here and gave up what he had there to come and live this life for us, ultimately one day to be crucified in place of us. And what a beautiful gift that is. But if you could try to put yourself in the sandals of young Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she found out that she was going to be with child and who that child is, that she must have been frightened. And this morning, I want us to look at the announcement that came to her about the birth of her child. And then I just kind of want you to ponder the kind of faith and trust that she had to have had in order to lean on what God had promised her and all that she was going to have to go through. So I'm going to read this passage of Scripture for you. This is found in Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. It says this: "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored!'" Exclamation point. "The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." What a promise. "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Amen. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. If you really put yourself in her sandals and you realize the culture that this moment was going to bring to her life, that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her and that she would be pregnant and conceive a child, and ultimately that child would be Son of the Most High, the Messiah. But she was a virgin, and who would, even her friends or her family or her fiancé, who would believe her that she didn't have an inappropriate relationship with somebody when she started to show? Nobody would have. It would have been very hard for them to imagine that this was actually happening. So, here's what Mary decided to do. Something that is amazing and incredible. And this morning, this is what I want to give you as we celebrate this first moment of Advent. Is she had unbelievable faith and belief and trust in the promises of the Lord God Almighty. Unbelievable trust. So I don't know if there's something you're facing today that's hard, that it's going to require some unbelievable, supernatural type of trust in the Lord. Whatever that is, you can. You can trust in him because his words are true and they're alive. So this morning, I light this candle in honor of Mary trusting in the Lord God Almighty. And I light it for you, for whatever thing or situation you might be facing Now, you don't know how it can work out. You don't know if it's possible. But just like we read in this passage of Scripture, this one, this morning, all things are possible with God. Amen? Let that be a reminder that God is good and you can trust Him, just like Mary did. All right, Brother Jim is going to lead us in our morning worship time. I want you to just picture the Lord God on the throne. There's no winter weather advisory in heaven. We're able to enter into the throne room together, church. As Jim mentioned, the word Emmanuel, which means God with us, and you sang two songs about God coming here to be with us. And I hope that you understand how amazingly beautiful that is, that God would do that. You see, there was a moment when we raised a defiant clenched fist toward heaven saying, I will be my own God. And God could have been done with humanity, but He wasn't. He loved us more than we can possibly imagine. And He created a plan for our salvation that involved His Son coming here, His only Son, to lay down His life for each one of us. We didn't earn that. We don't deserve that. And I hope that you just sense how special that really is. So, coming out of Thanksgiving and into Advent and the Christmas season, that I hope that that is where your heart and your mindset is. That Jesus loved me ere I knew Him. Jesus loves me in spite of me. Jesus loves me even though there are times in my life all of us have fallen short. All of us have been defiant. He said, I love you more than your defiance. And what He's done for us is beautiful. So I'm just going to pray for us today that we live in that season, that this season will bring to our hearts and our minds how special the gift that God has given us truly is. Sometimes I think we get to Christmas and we put up trees and decorations and we have plans and parties. I think sometimes we can get caught up in all of those things and our traditions that we really forget how special this really is. Oh, the tree is beautiful, but that's not what makes it special. It helps to serve as a reminder, but what makes it special is the thing that we should be reminded of, and that is a pile of filthy rags on my best day. Jesus came to save me from me. He didn't have to. He chose to. He left heaven, came here, and then He chose to do this on a cross. So I'm going to pray for us that this doesn't leave our hearts and our minds in the midst of all that we do. Next week, Brother Bill's going to read the Christmas story, and we're going to have donuts, and you're going to go to parties, and we're just going to celebrate Christmas, but we should never forget why we celebrate Christmas. It should be the thing that tomorrow is December 1st, so what a perfect day to just get up out of bed and live in this season of Advent and just expecting God to show up in a new and wonderful way even now. He sent us His Son. I think there are more gifts that He's waiting to give His people if we live in that season. So let us be mindful, and I'll pray for us that we do that in the midst of everything. We're going to start a very brief series of sermons leading up and through Christmas called We Have Seen a Great Light. And I'm going to use the passage of Scripture that Emily just sang about, the prophecy found in Isaiah chapter 9. And if you know anything about Isaiah's writings, you know, or the Old Testament in general, you know that there are so many prophecies that look forward, not behind, but forward to the coming Messiah. The Old Testament paves the way, points forward, looks at Jesus, prepares God's people for the Messiah that would come one day to bring restoration and hope and healing. And the Old Testament is full of that, especially the writings of Isaiah, where he prophesies about a Messiah. And you're very familiar likely with Isaiah chapter 9 and some of the prophecies that Isaiah writes. And what he refers to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, as is beautiful and poetic. And we're going to just look at this today, and I'm going to give you three things to think through. So if you've got, well, I'm going to give a bonus fourth one. How's that? So if you have your sermon notes, you can kind of say, okay, here's the three things that make this gift so special. And then there's a fourth one for us to consider. But the sermon series as a whole is about moving out of darkness and into light. So if you have your scripture, you can turn to the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And I just want to read verse 2. And we're going to read verse 2 together each of these weeks, because it's kind of the key verse for us to ponder when we consider that the light of heaven came into the darkness of our world and into our lives. Verse 2 says this: "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Now, Isaiah is writing nearly 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus. And the nation, the people of Assyria, are about to conquer the northern kingdom. So the people living there during Isaiah's time were truly living in darkness. It was a time of darkness. This prophecy had great hope that the people in the land of darkness have seen a great light. Now, he's prophesying, of course, about the birth of Jesus Christ. But it's not just those that were captive and taken into captivity by the Assyrians, but it's for us today too. 2,700 years after Isaiah writes these words, that is also for us, that Jesus has come to bring his children out of darkness, and that applies to each one of us. Now, we might think that, well, if I've ever lived in darkness, I mean, I grew up kind of a normal way, and I think a lot of people might consider their lives this way. But when we consider that we all fall short, pile of filthy rags on our best day, this is who we are, and compared to a holy, holy, holy God, we are wretched and we need a Savior. We are truly living in a land of darkness. Isaiah says a land of deep darkness. But take heart, because a great light has dawned. That should give not only the people he wrote to hope, but to us, it should give us not just hope, but clarity and perspective that even we have lived our lives in the past, or maybe now, in the present, apart from the great light of Jesus Christ. And we are, or have been, in a land of darkness. We can relate. The only light that can save us from that darkness is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to use this passage of Scripture every week as a reminder that all of us were once, or are, in a land of deep darkness. And the only hope that any of us have is the light from heaven. And each week we're going to discover a new light. This morning I want to unpack for you three things, and a bonus fourth, of how special the gift is. And I've been talking about this all morning, and Emily sang about it. Jim led us in worship today with Emmanuel as kind of the key, the theme that God with us, came in the form of a baby born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And it is a beautiful, wonderful gift. Isaiah prophesied about it. But I want us to talk about how great this gift is. And if you have your word, I'm going to read two verses. And these two verses, a little bit farther down from verse 2, we're going to read verses 6 and 7. These two verses are going to be very familiar to you, but there's three things about this gift that I want us to just kind of ponder about today. Just like Mary had to ponder the announcement that the angel Gabriel came to her to tell her that she was going to conceive not just a child, but the Messiah, the Son of the Most High. She had to ponder that. And this morning, I want us to just enter into a season where we ponder how amazing this is. We take it for granted sometimes, I think, Amanda. Christmas is fun and it's festive. But I want us to really ponder the gift and how beautiful it is today. So if you have your word, you may stand or raise your hands, close your eyes. These are not the words of even Brother Isaiah 2,700 years ago. These are the words of the Lord God Almighty. Verses 6 and 7 of chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Praise be to the Lord God for the reading of his word. Brother Isaiah says this, and this is the bonus one. Oh, by the way, I'm going to give you the bonus one right up front. Isaiah says that the government shall be on his shoulders. I think that we can get too caught up in authorities, government. I think we can get too caught up in putting our hope and our trust in things. I've never seen a greater political divide ever in my life than we have right now. It is quite extraordinary. For some, they have all their hope on the right, and for some, they have all their hope on the left, and the world will end, and everything will fall apart if certain powers are in control. But I want to tell you what Isaiah's words are true. The government, the authority, in other words, the authority of everything is upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter if you're on the right side or the left side. It doesn't matter where your hope and your faith is found in worldly things. The only thing that matters is that the Lord Jesus Christ came to establish his authority, and it reigned then and now and forevermore, and that is what you can put your hope and trust in. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. It only matters who's in his house, and his reign goes on forever and ever. The government is on his shoulders. Crossbeam of Cyprus was on his shoulders. He is the authority. He is the only thing, that we can count on for sure. Amen? The first thing that you need to understand about how special this gift is what he says at the very beginning, and he says it twice, verse 6. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. It's a baby, a child, but it's also a son, the son of the Lord God himself. The Messiah is born. But the key word in both of those sentences is the word us. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. It's not just the people of Isaiah's day. It's not just them. It's all of humanity. This gift is for every one of us. That's point number one. This gift, this perfect gift from heaven, is for you. It's for all of us. Are you an us? I think you are. If you are alive, are you alive? Raise your hand. If you are somebody, raise your hand. If you draw breath, you are the us that Isaiah is talking about. The gift is for you. It's not just broadly given to all of humanity. I want you to hear this. The Messiah was given to you. He's been born, and he was given to each one of you. This gift is personal, and it's intimately given. I don't know about you, but I am the pretty terrible gift giver. I'm like the worst. As a matter of fact, I'm so bad at it that years ago, my lovely wife said, "Why don't we just buy for ourselves?" That's worked out so much better because she's great at giving gifts, but me, I'm like the worst gift giver. It's like you get a gift from me and you look at it and you open it and you're like, "Do you even know me? Why would you think that I would want that?" So I'm terrible, but God knew what he was doing. He knew you. He knew exactly the gift that you needed, and he gave it to you. It's been given to you personally. That's a beautiful thought. It's easy for us to get caught up in the idea that Jesus came to save humanity, and what he did on the cross was to offer himself so that all could be saved. But there's something more beautiful about considering and understanding that, wait a minute, he didn't just do that for the 8 billion people that I share the third rock from the sun with. He did that for me. And he did. You see, he doesn't just love all of us. He loves each of us. Each of us are special to him. The second thing is, what makes this gift so special is that it is all you need. And I dare say it's all you should ever want. Just think about what Isaiah refers to the coming Messiah as a wonderful counselor. I don't know about you, but I need a counselor. I think actually everybody needs to be in counseling. We all probably need to be in counseling of some sort. But we've been given a gift that is so wonderful and beautiful. He's not just a counselor, he's a wonderful counselor. We need a God that loves us. We have a mighty God. We need a Father that will never end. We have an everlasting Father. And we need a Prince, but we don't just have a Prince. We have a Prince of Peace. Do you ever feel anxious? Or do you have worry or doubt or situations just kind of take over our thinking? You have a Prince of Peace. You have someone that understands. Someone that has walked in your shoes. You have someone that understands your life because he is the one that gave you life. He's the one that gives you the peace that passes all understanding, your ability to understand the kind of peace that only he can offer. It comes from him. This gift is perfect. Oh, I'm not going to give great gifts. Sorry. But this gift from heaven, it's not only been given to you, but it is perfect. It is exactly what you need. This light from heaven, a great light, is perfect. The third thing is that this gift will never expire. It will never decay. It lasts forever and ever and ever. Have you ever been given a gift that has an expiration date on it? Sometimes I've let those expire. Yikes. That's a wasted gift. Have you ever been given a gift that, well, it was beautiful at the time, but then just time and moth and rust just destroy, and you might not even have that gift anymore? It might have been your greatest treasure, but now you don't even know where it is. That's the way some gifts are. But the gift from heaven, this great light, will last forever. Brother Isaiah says that Jesus' kingdom, he will reign forevermore. That's a beautiful promise, and especially in the time of doubt and uncertainty when we don't know what is the stock market going to do tomorrow? What is going to happen in politics? What is going to happen in our world? What's going to happen with our economy? And all the great ifs, no matter what it is that we're facing, whether it's personal, financial, medical, it doesn't matter. We all have wonderings. Every week we wonder what happens to us if this happens. Well, this beautiful, perfect gift that you've been given is certain, and it never ends. He said that he will never leave us or forsake us. It's the only thing that you have in your life that you've been promised that will last for all of eternity. It's one thing to be given a gift that lasts for a handful of years, or maybe the rest of your earthly life, but to be given a gift that lasts forever. It's hard for us to even understand the length of eternity. But God's perfect gift, the light from heaven, lasts forever. That should give us comfort. That should have given Isaiah's readers comfort. That no matter what happens in this life, God's gift is for you. It is all you need, and it never ends. It goes on and on and on. Even though we have to say goodbye to our brother, even though situations are hard, we have been given the Lord Jesus Christ, and his reign never ends. Brother Jim is going to lead us in a couple of songs, and then I'm going to have you sit down again because I have a story to tell you, and I just realized that this story has a very important anniversary tied to it. So hold on for this story. Brother Jim? Hey, kiddos. So you're in here because I have a very special story to tell of something that happened to me a long time ago that reminds me that sometimes we don't know how special a gift is until we actually unwrap it and we kind of get an idea of how wonderful it is. You guys like to get gifts? All right, believe it or not, I can remember where I was when this happened, and there was a very special anniversary coming up because I know what I was doing on December 24th. What day is that, kids? Christmas Eve. I know what I was doing on Christmas Eve of 1975, long before most of the people in this room were even born. I can remember what I was doing on December 24th, 1975. Now, let me set this up for you. 3 months earlier, I had turned 13 years old. Now, if you're good at math, you could do the math. 50 plus 13 equals Pastor Steve being old. Old. But because I had just turned 13, my mama comes in all about middle of the afternoon on December 24th, 1975. Now, later that evening, we were going to do something very special. We were going to go to my grandparents' house and have dinner, open presents, and then we were going to walk across the yard to my other grandparents. Can you believe that? I had grandparents, and on the other side of the yard, I had another set of grandparents, and we were going to have more food, and we were going to open more presents. Grandmas and grandpas know how to give good presents. Now, the next morning, Santa was coming, but this night, Grandma was going to give me something very special. But my mama comes in, and she says, "Now, you are a teenager now. You're no longer a child." Okay, and she sticks that crooked bony finger in my face, and she threatens her 13-year-old son, and she says, "Now, no matter what Grandma and Grandpa give you tonight, you are going to act like you love it, because you're 13 now, and you might not get a toy. You might get something else that adults might get." And I started wondering. I started thinking, my grandma is going to give me a gift that I don't know if I'm going to like, but my mama has already told me that I have to like it. And she put her finger right in my face. And I was thinking that I'm going to get a pair of corduroy pants. Who knows about corduroy pants? Kids, back in the day, 50 years ago, people were tortured with wearing these things called corduroy pants. It was like wearing burlap, and they would swish when you walked. Swish, swish, swish. And I thought, I'm going to have a pair of corduroy pants. But not only am I going to have them, I have to act like I love them, or I'm going to be in so much trouble. I worried all day. How am I going to pull this off? I don't know that I can pull this off. I don't know when I get my pair of corduroy pants if I'm going to be able to show the kind of enthusiasm that my mama wants me to have. And I didn't want to disappoint my sweet grandma and grandpa. I wanted them to see that I was truly excited about whatever gift that I was going to get. I worried all day. And I worried at one grandparent's house. We had dinner. And I just sat and I worried and I worried. And we opened presents. And then we had to go across the yard to the other grandparents where I knew I was going to get my corduroy pants. And I worried, and it wasn't fun. I was scared. And then it came time to open the presents, and they started passing them out. Usually I would be so happy. Are you happy when you go and you know you're going to open up Christmas presents? You're probably happy, aren't you? You are very happy. I wasn't happy. And the presents started coming. I had a lot of younger cousins, and they were opening present after present of something that I would have wanted, like a race car set, or cowboy and Indian stuff, or basketball, or Hot Wheels, the greatest gift from heaven. And I thought, I would want that. I could show enthusiasm if I had that gift. I could just show genuine excitement. And my cousins were very excited. And then it was my turn. And my grandma brings this present over to me and she puts it in my hands. And it was this little box. And I thought, wait a minute. There can't be corduroy pants stuck in this little box. And I thought, maybe there's a great toy in here. Maybe there's something that my mama didn't know about. Maybe there's going to be something that I can be truly excited about. And I can show excitement. It was wrapped. The box was wrapped. So I just slowly kind of unwrapping it. And then it was a cardboard box that had writing on it. And you can't believe what this box said. I cut all the wrapping paper off and I looked at it. And it said, Woodpecker Pencil Sharpener. A woodpecker pencil sharpener. That's what it said. And I just studied that for a moment and I thought, that's clever. I mean, you think about a pencil sharpener being shaped like a woodpecker because, you know, that's what a woodpecker does. It pecks on the wood and it sharpens it. And then I get a pencil sharpener that's shaped like a woodpecker. But then I thought, I can't show excitement about this. And you know what I thought for a minute? I would have rather had corduroy pants. And I just sat there with it on my lap. Just knowing that I'm going to have to show excitement. And I'm sitting there and I look up and my mama, she comes to the edge of the kitchen, separated the kitchen from the living room, and she's leaning against the door jamb. And she's just smiling. And she says, well, son, what did you get? And I remember, I have to show excitement. So I just held it up in the air and I said, I got this! I got a woodpecker pencil sharpener. I'm so excited. And my mama laughed out loud. And she said, open the box, son. I hadn't opened the box yet. So I opened the box, and it wasn't a woodpecker pencil sharpener. It was something else. Something that I would have never expected. It was beautiful and amazing. It's the first one of these that I had ever owned in my life. And I had just become 13, and I thought, I'm kind of a kid, but I'm getting older. I'm not quite an adult, but this is certainly something that an older kid would really want to have. It was beautiful and amazing. It's the favorite gift, I think, that I have ever received from my grandparents. It's this beautiful moment. I pull it out of the box, and it is a wristwatch that had a blue face and white numbers and hands on it. It was the first watch I had ever owned in my life. It was like, okay, we know you're not a child anymore. You're growing up. So here's kind of an older gift for you. I want to tell you something. I treasured that gift. It was easy in that moment for me to show real excitement because honestly, it was one of the most beautiful things that I had ever held in my hands in my entire life, before or since, this beautiful watch. Now, here's why this story matters. Here's why this matters. Sometimes we don't know how special the gift is until we open it. And I want you to hear this. The Lord God in heaven gave us the most beautiful gift in the world, and that is His Son Jesus. And He came at Christmas time. But we don't know how special that gift is unless we give our hearts and our lives to Jesus. Unless we receive that gift for the beauty that it was intended, we'll never know how special that gift is. So, church, that gift has been given to you. It is perfect in every way, and it never, never ends. And kids, I want you to remember the story of Crazy Pastor Steve when he was 13 years old, and he thought he got a woodpecker pencil sharpener, which is kind of a clever idea, but the gift was even better. But I had no idea. So, this Christmas, I want you to remember the reason that we celebrate is because Jesus is the most perfect gift, bless you, that you could ever get. But it's not going to matter as much unless you open it, which means you give your heart and your life to Him. Amen? Thank you for listening to my story. Can you believe that I'm 50 plus 13 years old? I know, it's impossible to believe. Church, thank you for your patience. I know some of you have heard that story before, but some of you have not. So therefore, let that be a reminder that, wow, God's gift is perfect, but it's not really going to matter unless we open it and we see and possess the beauty for ourselves. Amen? Church, you are sent.